Turn to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 in your Bible this morning. We were unable to have our small groups this Wednesday because of the crazy weather. And so everybody's thinking, what's he preaching on this week? I didn't get the notes ahead of time. Maybe some of you did get the notes already. I do have some of them in my office printed off if you didn't get any yet. And your group leaders as well have them. But we're looking at Philippians chapter 4. Now, last time we were in Luke chapter 11, and my intention was to get so far. I only made it halfway through. I'll finish that message next week, okay? But I'm pausing this week for our Faith Promise Sunday. I'd like to preach from this text in Philippians chapter 4. I'll read verses 10 down through 20, and we're going to examine a biblical pattern for giving to missions, a biblical pattern for giving to missions. We'll see it here in Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says this, beginning in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Our Father, we thank you for the words of Scripture. We thank you for the clear instruction that you give us here. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that accompanies this powerful book. I pray that in our hearts now, your Spirit would work, that we would be tender and open, receptive to your message, and that we would truly worship you through our giving to missions. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is not often that I preach on giving. In fact, during the offering, I chuckle when I think about it. From time to time, it almost sounds like I'd rather people didn't give than do give. Because I recognize that giving, and I think our church does recognize this as a whole, that giving is not an act that God is pleased with purely by the amount or the number that we give or whatever it may be. And we don't beg and plead with people to give one more dollar because your dollar can be used to do so many things. We don't just beg and plead that way. Even the Gideons that have come to us this morning, their desire is not just for money, but their desire is for the word of God to be spread and to be given to the world around us. And so we share in the blessings of the ministry. And so that is the ministry of the Gideons as well. In fact, I don't think Brother Bob mentioned it this morning, but the money that we give towards Gideon's, does not go to help the men, the people, the Gideons as individuals. Every cent goes towards the printing of the Word of God. They fund their own expenses to do that ministry. And I think that's important to point out as well, because they recognize the importance of giving to missions and they see the necessity of serving the Lord. But here in Philippians chapter 4, we see a biblical pattern for giving to missions. Yes, churches should give to support missionaries. Yes, individual Christians should give financial gifts to help missionaries. Yes, Trinity Gospel Church of Williamsport, Pennsylvania should be giving to finance the gospel ministry of missionaries who not only serve here, but serve around the globe. We ought to be involved in this gospel ministry. In fact, Jesus gave the Great Commission to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave that commission to 12 of his disciples and those that were with them at the time. And those few did the work and continue to do the work. You and I, as disciples of Jesus today, continue to do the work of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways we do that is by helping those who have submitted to that great call that God has given to them to go, literally go, across the ocean perhaps, or around the globe, to reach souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we've been praying for God to send laborers, and part of the way that God sends laborers is through the giving ministry of this church. Well, here in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to this group of believers in Philippi and sharing with them his joy because of their giving. And at first we might think, well, yeah, sure, he's joyful about their giving because he's getting some money out of the deal, right? But that's not at all the motive that we see here in the scripture. And so look down at verse 10. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Evidently the church at Philippi had once supported the Apostle Paul, had come to a place in their ministry where they were unable to, whether they didn't have the opportunity or they didn't have the funds, whatever the reason was, they couldn't give. But then the Lord blessed and they were able to give again. And so their giving revived in a sense. It revived and the Apostle Paul was joyful. But notice what his joy is in. He doesn't say, I'm so joyful because I'm getting money. But he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. You see, the Apostle Paul gave the Lord the credit for the gifts that the Philippian Christians were giving to him. The Apostle gave the Lord the glory. Because as those believers gave, they were giving to God for his work. They were sacrificing, they were honoring and worshiping the Lord. They were sacrificing to him. And so the Apostle Paul is joyful in the Lord. That's where our joy comes from. It doesn't come from money. It comes from the Lord. You know, there are plenty of I don't even know what to call them. I wanted to call them ministers or pastors or whatever they may call them. So there are plenty of people out there who, in the name of gospel ministry, are soliciting funds. But you can tell by the lifestyle that they live that their joy comes from money, not from the Lord. And I would say that those are not the people you ought to be given to. We're giving our money to the Lord for his purposes, for his glory, and for his honor. And the missionaries that we give to recognize that their sustenance, their well-being comes from the benevolence of God himself. And whether God uses this church or another church or other individuals to do it, that's his business. But the reality, it comes from God. And so the Apostle Paul is joyful in the Lord. He rejoices in the Lord because their giving continues. Now you can see his attitude in the next couple of verses. And these are some familiar verses to us. In fact, verse 13 is one of those verses where we're all like, yeah, that's the favorite verse. And we love that verse, but let's remember the context of verse 13. Now, verse 13 is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we use that verse often. In fact, we quote that often in our addictions program on Friday nights, because victory comes from Jesus Christ. But remember the context. Here the Apostle Paul says, you know, I'm thankful that you're giving, but the reality is, whatever God allows in my life, whether I have money or don't have money, God enables me to continue serving, and I will by his strength and his ability to do that. And so you see that in the next couple of verses. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. The apostle says, hey, I'm thankful for this gift, but not because I'm in desperate need. Well, did Paul have a need? Well, sure he had a need. He had financial needs, just like we all have financial needs, right? He had other needs, but he didn't rejoice because he had a need and they were giving to it. Why did he rejoice? He says, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We could park right there and preach a whole message on that verse. The Apostle Paul recognized that whether he had money or not didn't matter. But he had learned in whatever state he was, whether it was of abundance or of great want, he was going to be content. And I can tell you the Lord has used that verse in my life, especially with reference to finances. He has used that verse in my heart. And he wants to use that in all of our hearts. We are going to be content. The Pastor Joel, we're such a small church. I wish we could do more. But we are going to be content. Because God's ministry for us is a gift itself. And it is a blessing to give money to his ministry and to serve in his ministry. And so we will be content. We won't look around at other churches and say, oh, they're so much bigger. Oh, they can do so much more. And I, as a pastor, will not look around at other pastors and say, wow, they have a big church. He gets such a big salary or whatever. No. No, we will be content because God's ministry is such a blessing. There's nothing like it. So I have learned to be content, the Apostle Paul says. Not that I speak in respect of want. Now, verse 12. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The apostle says, I know how to handle it. I know how to handle it if I have a lot of money. So how do you handle it when you have a lot of money? Well, man, you go on a vacation and you take trips and you live it up. No, that's not what the apostle Paul did. He financed the ministry when he had money. But then he also knew how to handle it when he didn't have money. He knew how to be content and how to serve the Lord, and in fact, from time to time, how to work his own job so he could take care of his own financial needs, which he did on many occasions. And so the Apostle Paul knew how to handle it, whether he had money or he didn't have money. The point wasn't that he needed money. The point was that he had a ministry and he was thankful for it, and that God was supplying his needs. And that's why he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In essence, the apostle says, whether or not you give to my ministry, I will serve because Christ will strengthen me. Those are the kind of people we want to support. People that have an attitude like that. And that's what the Apostle Paul has right here. I can do all things through Christ. But that doesn't mean that we don't give. You say, okay, well, if it doesn't matter, then why am I giving? Why is this Faith Promise Sunday? Why are we making promises to give? Why? Well, because there are needs and God can use us. That's the point. God can supply the needs of others through us. It is God that does it. We might be able to get in on it. And so we see it here, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Paul says, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying don't give. You've done well by giving, even though I don't need it because Christ provides for me. And I'm not begging for it. The Apostle Paul says you have done well because God is using you. He says you've done well, notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Communicate there is share. Share. You shared with my affliction. The Apostle Paul had many times where he was desperate and in need, and he was praising God because other Christians shared his need. And so he was thankful for that. They did well by sharing in his affliction. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The very beginning of Paul's ministry, when he first launched out to share the truth of the gospel with the Philippians, he wasn't financed by anybody. But the Philippians themselves financed his ministry at that time. And so the Apostle Paul is praising God for them. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Here we see that the Philippians were giving consistently and regularly and repeatedly. That's a great way to give to missions, which is why we have Faith Promise Sunday, because we are promising to give consistently and regularly, repeatedly, for the ministry of the gospel. And so we're going to fill out those cards. We're going to make that promise, and by God's grace, He's going to enable us to give regularly. I'm going to write a number down on the card this morning, a number that represents money that I do not have, but God will supply so that I can regularly give to the missions. And so I will, and so will you. And so it's regular, and it's repeated. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift. Again, you see Paul's attitude. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now here's the great thing. Here's the blessing. When you and I share with the needs of missionaries by giving to their financial needs, we are able to receive gifts and blessings from God Himself, rewards from God, because of the ministry that someone else is doing, because we are sharing in that ministry by sharing in their affliction, see. And so the Apostle Paul is pleased and excited, and his desire is that there would be fruit abounding to their account, so that when a soul gets saved in some other country where they've never been, they share in the blessings and the rewards and in the celebration that takes place in heaven because they gave to finance that ministry and that missionary. They get the rewards. There is coming a day when you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's a judgment where we stand before Christ and He gives rewards for the works that we have done for His benefit and for His glory. It's not a judgment for sin that's been taken care of on the cross of Calvary, and Christians don't face that punishment. But we are judged by the works that we've done for Christ, or maybe the works that we've done that were not for Christ. We lose what could be rewards that Christ wants to give us. And so to bring it down to a practical issue, you have an opportunity to give. And you can give grudgingly. You can give in the offering plate and think, I really don't want to do this. I can tell you, you have your reward. You won't get one in heaven. But if you give it for God's glory and for the ministry of Jesus Christ and the gospel ministry out of a heart that loves Him, you can have fruit abound to your account, and you will experience reward in heaven someday. And of course, we know that since we did it for God's glory, those rewards we're going to give right back to God anyway. What a great act of worship to honor God doubly with the gifts that we give Him. And so the apostle says he desires that fruit may abound to their account. Now verse 18. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you. Paul confirms to those Philippians that he did receive the gifts that this man Epaphroditus brought. He says, I'm full. And thank you so much for filling my need, for being used of God. And I am now in a place in my life where I am full. And I know how to live when I'm abounding or when I'm suffering need. And at this point, I'm abounding, I'm full. And it is because of God's goodness and because of your willingness to be used by Him. So he says, I have all and abound. But notice how he describes their gift. The things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And so as you give in the offering plate, when you give with the right heart motive, it is a sacrifice acceptable. It is a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. He loves it when we give to Him. He loves it when we give to honor Him, when we give to finance His work and His ministry. He loves it. And as we give in that offering place, that worship ascends up to the throne of God, and God breathes it in, and He is so pleased. And He loves it. And He sees how those believers at Trinity Gospel Church love me so much that they would sacrificially give to the work of the gospel ministry. He loves it. It is well-pleasing to Him. And it is an honor to Him. And that is why we give, for God's glory. Not because some missionary comes and says, I need money. But we give for God's glory. And when we give that way, God is glorified and He is well pleased. And so then we see verse 19. This is great. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How rich do you think God is? Wow. According to those riches in glory by Christ Jesus, He will supply your need. For what reason? So I can be happy. Wrong. So I can abound. Wrong. So you can give to His work. That's why He blesses. And I will challenge you with God's word. When you give sacrificially to His work, you will be amazed at how God will supply your need in order that you may give. Now, you can make a financial decision here. You can decide. You can look at your budget. You can see what you have and what you can afford. And you can give that way. But if you're going to give in faith, you're going to trust that God will supply your need in order that you may give perhaps what doesn't make sense in your budget. That is a gift in faith, because God supplies our needs. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm talking about being faithful. Being faithful. God will supply. You know, if we were to look at our church finances over the past years, you'd be amazed at how God has supplied for this church and enabled this church to give towards missions. When we first started the Faith Promise program, we had given on average about $500 a year towards missions. I know we were giving as individuals and other things like that, but as a church corporately, we were giving on average $500 a year. And last year, our promise was $18,195. And this church has grown a little bit numerically, but not that much. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because God supplies the needs of his faithful servants who will give towards his work. That's a Bible principle. And why does he do it? Because of verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why does he supply? Because he gets the glory. You know, God is being glorified right now in this service as we think about what God's used this church to do over the last years. We think about that, and God gets glory for it because it doesn't make sense to us. We just have to say, wow, God, you are amazing. And he is. And he is. And so what will God do through this church for his own glory in this next year? That's a question that we're considering even now and thinking about. It's for his glory and for his good. And that's why we give. The world today says, oh, you're wasting money. You're giving money and it's, you know, you could use that money for so many other things. You could use that money for a new house. You could use that money for a new car. You could use that money to whatever, finance your kids' college. Whatever it is. Okay? And that's what the world's going to tell you. And you will always have an excuse. You will always have something that you can give that money to. But to give for God's glory is the reason that rises above all else. Because you know why you exist on this earth? To give God glory. That's why you're breathing today. To give God glory. And what better way to give him glory than to use the resources that he's given to us? Well, I know that I've really jumped up and down on giving, haven't I? Man, Pastor Joel, you're really giving us the guilt trip today. I hope that you don't think that. But I hope you can see in Scripture the principles are clearly there. And it's good for us to step out in faith and to challenge ourselves to follow God in this way. And so we'll have that opportunity in just a moment. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, you are good. And you are benevolent. And you give and give and give and give. And Lord, we know we don't deserve it because we have turned against you time and time again. And we have disappointed you over and over again. But Lord, you constantly give and give and give. And when we think of your grace, we are overwhelmed. Lord, I pray that you would help us to mirror that benevolence. Help us to consider what you want, and may we give from our hearts. And as we make this promise, there will be times where it will be tough and the devil will tempt us, and we will consider reneging on this promise. Lord, I pray that you would motivate us. Help us to be faithful, to give towards your work. And Lord, we pray that in this time now where we give this faith promise, we pray that you would be glorified above all. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.